mistakenly regard Pentecost as the feast of the Holy Spirit, much like Christmas is the feast of the birth of Jesus. But Pentecost is not the feast of the Holy Spirit, it's the feast of the church. Moreover, at Pentecost, we don't simply commemorate an event that happened long ago, in the same way, for instance, that we just commemorated the anniversary of D-Day. In observing D-Day, we reach back into our national memory to an historic event that both happened and ended decades ago. We honor the many who sacrificed their lives that day, as well as the thousands whose continued service finally brought that bloody war to an end. We commemorate D-Day, but we don't expect it to be repeated again today. That's the difference with Pentecost. On this feast, we celebrate not just the original outpouring of God's Holy Spirit upon the church in the first century, we also rejoice in God's ongoing pouring out of the Holy Spirit on the church today. And most importantly, we fully expect that Pentecost will happen again this evening. In fact, we count on it. The Holy Spirit, after all, is God's dynamizing presence in the church. It is the Holy Spirit who inspires us to lives of love and service, who encourages us when we falter, and who forgives us when we deliberately turn away from God. Without the constant presence of the Holy Spirit in the church, we could never live the kind of life that God intends us to live, the kind of life that Jesus lived when he walked on this earth. And yet, many might well ask this evening, if God's Spirit is constantly being poured out, how has the church wound up in the derelict and disgraceful condition we find it today? We Catholics continue to be troubled by the past painful year with its sordid revelations of clergy sexual abuse and episcopal cover-ups. Where was the Holy Spirit when those despicable behaviors were occurring? We think, too, of the scandalous financial irregularities that have come to light in the past few days. Although in this case it was only one bishop who behaved outrageously, it is discouraging to recognize that many other church leaders seem to have bartered away a life of ministerial service for one of entitlement and privilege. If the Holy Spirit is truly dwelling in the church, how could these things have happened? Nor must we restrict our focus exclusively to these examples of sinful clerical corruption. We need also ask why so many good Catholics, Catholics who struggle to lead virtuous lives, find in the church not an encouraging mother, but a harsh and censorious judge. We need to question why so many sisters and brothers of ours who earnestly seek deeper friendship with God and companionship with us in discipleship encounter instead rejection and condemnation. And when St. Paul assures us that there is an abundance of gifts distributed broadly throughout the Christian community, we must reflect critically on why the church persists in rebuffing the urgently needed and generously offered ministry of its daughters and married sons. These grating realities of our imperfect church require us to question whether ours is the kind of church that Jesus hoped for, the kind of church that Jesus shed his blood for. And the answer, my friends, is no to the first and yes to the second. No, this isn't, I think, the kind of church that Jesus hoped for. But yes, it is the kind of church that he suffered and died for. As the letter to the Romans teaches, God proves his love for us in that while we still were sinners, Christ died for us. So let's face it, this Feast of Pentecost is not for weak-kneed or faint-hearted disciples. They see the soiled and spoiled in our church, and disillusioned, they wag their heads and walk away. No, this feast is for clear-eyed disciples who plainly see the filth, but just as plainly see the compassionate face of Christ in our members who reach out to the lonely, the homeless, the migrant, and the dispossessed. This Feast of Pentecost is for faith-filled Christians who continue to hope that God will once again today send out his Spirit and renew the face of the church. And so I urge you, my sisters and brothers, make that brief refrain your fervent prayer, not just today, but every day. For as long as we continue to experience so acutely the sinfulness of our church, Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the church. And for the next week, you might also consider pondering prayerfully the words of the Pentecost sequence that was sung just before the gospel this evening. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Heal our wounds, our strength renew. On our dryness, pour out your dew. Wash the stains of guilt away. Guide our steps that go astray. On your faithful who adore, pour out your salvation, Lord.